Welcome to the Pause Purpose Play podcast with me, clinical psychologist Michaela Thomas. This podcast is for you if you're an ambitious working woman wanting to create more impact in the world with less impact on yourself. This is where we let go of the pressure of perfection for more joy, compassion, and connection in your life, so you can burn bright, not burn out. Hello and welcome back to the Pause Purpose Play podcast with me, your host, Michaela Thomas, expert on all things perfectionism and the things related to that, like the lack of compassion for yourself, like the lack of implementing self-care, even though you know it's good for you, even though you know it makes you feel better. So in today's episode, we're going to think about that, about the balancing act between implementing nourishing self-care that makes you feel good, that's kind of nice, and that you deserve to have, and then implementing necessity, the type of necessary self-care that you also need to be well and healthy, but it doesn't feel particularly sexy or pampery. So let's dive in. We'll start by thinking about the necessary self-care, and then we'll move on to thinking about four tips around implementing and inviting in more nourishing self-care. I want to start by telling you a story. I went to the hygienist last week with a standard feeling of a bit of shame around how my teeth were in the condition that we're in, even though I have been both brushing and flossing since my last visit to the hygienist 4 months ago. I really made an effort with it. Anyway, we needed to tweak my brushing technique in one area specifically, and when I explained, almost like as an excuse, that I have two young children, so I don't always get a chance to brush properly, sometimes get distracted by the kids around my feet, she said, "Of course, you have no time for you when you have little kids." And although it was said with compassion and kindness as a way to understand and make sense of why this is hard for me, that phrase really stuck with me. I don't want to constantly be in that narrative of self-neglect because I have young children. And I want to challenge that motherhood comes with that expectation to ignore my own needs in order to meet theirs. So I feel I deserve to have healthy teeth. Besides, if I have the time to scroll on my phone, I can spend 2 mindful minutes cleaning my teeth. So I've been doing that, noticing my tendency to wander out of the bathroom into the kitchen to just potter with something at the same time. Hello, optimizing and maximizing. I see you. That's a very common thing for perfectionists, by the way, to try to find something else to multitask at the same time. So as soon as I notice it, I gently guide myself back in front of the bathroom mirror to just do that mindful brushing. It's work in progress. And I'm doing it because my dental health matters. Dental health is also self-care, but it might not feel like a nourishing experience. I remember when I was employed in the NHS years ago, and I didn't see a hygienist or dentist for years, as it was so hard to get to go to appointments in the middle of the working day. I didn't even have kids then, but I still didn't make it a priority. So I'm really not meaning this to be shaming or blaming. I really know how hard it is to make these less sexy self-care practices a priority. You also have to tolerate the discomfort of that kind of self-care whilst you're doing it, so that you'll be better off for it the other side. It doesn't feel good to go to the dental hygienist. It really doesn't. Brushing over slightly inflamed gums hurts a bit, so no wonder I want to avoid that. Going to the hygienist feels uncomfortable, so no wonder I want to avoid that. The compassion piece of telling yourself that it makes sense that you don't want to do self-care practices which give discomfort can also help you find the courage to face them and actually do them. Having half an hour at the hygienist is no more lovely self-care than it is to wander around the shelves on your own in Tesco's. It is a medically needed appointment to keep your teeth from decaying and from needing further intervention from the dentist. Prevention of ill health is not pampering or selfishness. It is essential and crucial for your health. You taking yourself off to the dentist or having a smear test is essential to your health and well-being. So no, I'm not saying that you need to mindfully savour the moment of lying in the hygienist's chair. It is a balancing act of considering all the things you need to be well and making space for you to take action with those things. If you are too busy to do those things for yourself, you'll soon feel the repercussions of not putting your self-care first. This is not meant to be shaming. This is meant to highlight how understandable it is that we don't act on it until it becomes a problem. So what if you don't look after yourself? Let me paint you a picture of what that could look like by reading you a snippet from my book, The Lasting Connection, which is about developing love and compassion for yourself and your partner. You at your compassionate best. Hello, busy working woman. I've got news for you. There is a way where you can burn bright without burning out. There is a way where you can discover how to calm the overwhelm and create more ease and peace in your work and in your life. I want you to watch the replay of my free masterclass for ambitious female entrepreneurs, founders, CEOs, senior corporate women, and if you're wanting to create more impact in the world with less impact on yourself, this talk is for you. So let me see if this resonates with you. You're an ambitious female entrepreneur working hard to reach your goals, but it's taken a toll on your well-being. You can't remember the last time you properly switched off on a holiday without worrying about your business or the work to-do list. Your body is telling you to slow down, but you've got too much to do to listen, so you push through with more coffee or sugar. You worry about what other people think, or you second-guess your decisions, or procrastinate something until it's perfect. Well then, this talk is for you. Let's find you balance over burnout so you can reach your stretchy goals without becoming overstretched. Go to thethomasconnection.lpages.co/burnbright. That's thethomasconnection.lpages.co/burnbright to catch this free replay of my masterclass. I'll put the link in the show notes as well, so it's just easier for you to click it and watch it in your own time. And now back to the episode. There's a saying, you cannot pour from an empty glass. Imagine that a glass of water represents your energy levels. When you wake up in the morning, sleep has refilled your glass. If you have problems sleeping, the glass isn't topped up fully and you start the day a bit depleted. During the day, you focus your energy on things which matter to you, like work, family, friends, and relationship. Every time you make efforts in those areas, some of the water in your glass drains out. If you don't look after yourself, if you don't keep yourself topped up, your glass will empty and you will have nothing left to give. If you put work ahead of your relationship or your family or your friends, your liquid will be all gone by the time you come home. You're then more likely to be irritable and snappy, as nobody can run on empty. It's common for burnt out professionals to struggle in their relationships. They're too exhausted to give anything to their loved ones. So do we want to be burnt out? Do we want to get to this point where we don't have any space for anything else? Because we've not looked after ourselves, we've not topped ourselves up. If that hasn't struck enough of a chord with you, think about how you are with your child or your children, if you have kids. When you don't look after yourself, when you put yourself at the bottom of the pile and continue running on fumes until you drop, which version of you will your children see? Does shouty mum come out when you've not replenished yourself? Balancing these necessary but less nourishing self-care practices with ones that also feel good in the moment is really important. So you don't constantly live in a feeling of doing necessary evil to look after yourself. I talked about this with my six-year-old the other day, of how we plug in the charger to recharge the battery on a mobile phone, and we need to do the same with ourselves. He really got it. We agreed the two things that he needs at the end of the school days in order for him to recharge is some downtime and a snack to refuel. I can have that conversation with my child because I care deeply about him being well. So I can also have the same conversation with myself. I need to, and so do you. Four things to ask yourself when you are running on empty. What are your warning signs that your battery is nearly empty? irritability, fatigue, negative thinking, overwhelm, overthinking. And secondly, what usually helps to recharge you when you are running low on energy? What are your go-to nourishing self-care strategies to lift your spirits, like getting a breath of fresh air, doing some breathing, movement, having your eyes closed in a dark room, having a moment of silence and peace, or a walk in nature, or a nourishing meal? What helps you to top you up in a way that does feel nourishing and does feel nice? Number three, what is your yes but response to self-care? I hear this so much from my clients. Yeah, I get that I need to do self-care and I know all the things I need to do. Yes, but I'm too busy. Or yes, but I feel guilty afterwards. Or yes, but I should get this done first. And yes, but I also have to look after the kids. Number four, what is a small action you can do to get a pocket of pause right here, right now? It doesn't have to be complicated. Rather than an all or nothing kind of perfectionist attitude to self-care, what is your good enough? What is the 1 minute thing you can do? Like a 1 minute breathing space. Just 5 or 6 deep breaths over the course of 1 minute. That's all you need. It doesn't have to be a 90 minute yoga class. It doesn't have to be a week long retreat. Doing self-care can be small. Can be as small as standing up straight, rolling your shoulders back, and letting out a deep sigh. It can be as small as lying down on the floor right next to your kids with your eyes closed for a moment. It can be as small as saying to your partner, I'm just going to go upstairs and read for 10 minutes. It does not have to be big and all or nothing for you to do things that are nourishing and kind for you. If you feel overwhelmed, even listening to this, you don't know where to put it in, and you kind of notice that you are feeling quite overwhelmed, and you notice that even though you might have some self-care practices, you're not allowing yourself the permission to do them, you can download my free worksheet, Calm the Overwhelm, to work through the signs of emotional and physical exhaustion, to choose from simple self-care practices that you can fit into your schedule, and become aware of what gets in the way of you doing those healthy habits. Like your inner critical voice saying that you won't be productive if you take a break. You can go to thethomasconnection.co.uk/calm to download that free worksheet. So let's get back to this idea of balancing nourishing activities with necessary self-care. And I think self-care does get a bad rep in that sense that we think that self-care means just pampering, baths and like painting your nails and, you know, all the stuff that I even think that the patriarchy is there to say that women should like, right? I don't find that painting my nails is necessarily self-care. If I would combine that with listening to some calming music, or I sort of just sit there and just be mindfully really aware of the color going on my nails, then suddenly it starts to become more self-care for me. But I don't like this idea of enforcing on people what self-care should look like. And like I said, walking around Tesco's on your own, that's not self-care. Don't get confused about what you see online about what self-care should be. Create your own habit, create your own rhythm. This is really hard. But if you want some guided practices to nourish yourself, an experience that does feel good, that doesn't feel like going to the hygienist, and we do need to do that too, then I would love to invite you to my event, Nourishing You, to find more pause, purpose, play and permission, combined with a long nourishing lunch filled with delicious and nutritious food. Come along to this event that I'm hosting together with Sam Dew, a recent guest on the podcast. You can read more on the link in the show notes. And if I don't see you for a little while, if you drift away from the podcast, remember that that happens. Even when we know that we need to do something to keep ourselves well, we can also have the tendency to drift away from it. Don't beat yourself up. Just notice it and gently come back to me. And until then, do take care of yourself. Thank you so much for listening to the end of this episode of the Pause Purpose Play podcast with me, Michaela Thomas. If you found this episode helpful, make sure that you hit that follow or subscribe button to not miss the next episode. Tell other people about this podcast because together we can change the world and be more kind, caring and compassionate to ourselves as well as other people. And as always, do take care of yourself. Until I see you next week.